Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name is Ryan, and I'm honored to be able to speak this morning during our series called The Good Life. We started this series 2 weeks ago, and we're going to continue on throughout the summer. This morning, I'm going to be speaking on eating, which is good. We all enjoy doing that. And so, before we start, let me pray. Dear Jesus, as we look at the topic of eating today, I pray that you will open our ears and open our hearts to how your gospel, the good life, influences how we eat. I pray that we would be open to transformation this morning. I pray that we would be open to hearing your voice speak into one of the areas of our lives that we hold the closest, which is how we eat. Your name, Lord. Amen. So, today I'm going to be sharing on eating. Before we get there, though, let's review what we did last week. So, last Sunday, Doug spoke on working. This can be a little disconcerting when our team leader speaks on what we do, but thankfully, no names were mentioned and no sideways glances were given. So, it's all good. Jesus has recreated our identities, and this affects how we work. Work is a much thought about topic in today's culture. We constantly evaluate not only what we are doing for work, but what it pays, what it allows us to do, the lifestyle that it allows. We were reminded last week that people have always worked. We were created to work because we were created in God's image. God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, and thus we work as well. We'll talk about the resting part next Sunday. Our work is important, and we have been given a responsibility to work. The what or how of work is not so important as realizing the difference that can be made through our work. Work becomes worship when it is dedicated to God. Our work is a reflection of our Master, and we reflect Him best when we're being honest, being people of integrity, and going above and beyond in our work, no matter the circumstances or the pay. Doug also wisely reminded us of the need for balance, which is often missing in our culture. So, to summarize, God created us for work, and using the gifts and talents God has given us, our work can be a form of worship, which declares to this world the glory of who He is. If you happen to miss last Sunday's message, it would be well worth your time to head to the church website and listen to the podcast. So, this morning, I hope you had a good breakfast. I hope you're looking forward to lunch. Because we are going to be spending the next while talking about eating. So hopefully you don't have a tummy that rumbles. Some of you have come into today thinking about this message and wondering, maybe hoping, that certain things will happen. So let's cover off a few things. First, I'm not going to give out any food. I know, it's disappointing. But somehow, I just didn't find time in my weekend to prepare a meal for several hundred people. My apologies. Second, I'm not going to tell you what to eat based on a diet found in the Bible. By this, I'm not saying that those diets are right. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm simply saying that each of us is created uniquely. And we're all at different stages of life, and there's not one particular way of eating that suits everyone. Third, I'm not going to be able to cover everything that the Bible says about eating. Today is hopefully a starting point or a continuing marker in your journey about thinking about eating. Fourth, I do want to encourage you to think deeply about eating. Not just what you eat, but how you eat, where you eat, and with whom you eat. Eating is important. And our recreated identity in Christ may just transform our eating. So let's start at the beginning. It's always a great place to start. God creates the animals. He creates Adam and Eve. And what quickly starts to happen? Everything and everyone begins to eat. Eating is obviously critical to our well-being. We need to eat. We should eat. God created us to eat and to enjoy eating. Voltaire said, "Nothing would be more tiresome than eating and drinking if God had not made them a pleasure as well as a necessity." God has blessed us in that our eating involves every one of our senses. It involves sight. Have you seen this food? It looks fantastic. Lucky four people who got to eat those. So it involves our sight. It involves our smell. Think barbecue. It involves our taste. Think apple pie. It involves our hearing. Think a grill sizzling. It involves touch, the crunch of a beautifully red apple. Now that we're all hungry, and have paused for a moment to think about how wonderful that food would taste, let me remind you of a couple of things. The fall of man happened through the medium of food. God provided food miraculously for the Israelites. Daniel rose to power by setting himself apart through his eating. The Pharisees made eating more ritual than blessing. Jesus and his disciples ate and ate and ate. It is interesting that of the many mundane things that we as humans do, the Bible records Jesus eating so often. It never records him combing his hair or using the bathroom to continue on with that theme this morning or stretching out his sore muscles. But we know that Jesus eats. He eats with the disciples. He eats with sinners. He eats with tax collectors. I will take this as a sign to eat and to do it often. When I was asked to speak on eating, it was done with purpose. Katrina, who's my wife, and I have thought often and experimented often with our eating. We have moved towards a vegetarian diet and, thankfully, away from a vegetarian diet. We have followed the Canadian Food Guide strictly and not so strictly. We have moved away from things like sugar, yeast, vinegar, sometimes all of them at once. What we have learned, more than anything, is that food is critical to us as humans. It affects us in every way. The food we eat and how we eat affects our mood, it affects how our brain functions, it affects our immune system, our energy levels, it affects everything about us. The other thing that Katrina and I have learned is that our eating is not static. It doesn't stay the same. The way you eat today is not how you're going to eat in 5 years. We change things based on expense, weight gain, weight loss, social community, even physical location changes how we eat. So, taking all of this into consideration, how does the gospel, the good life, affect how we eat? God has blessed us by making the consumption of food meaningful to us socially and with our senses. But does our eating change now that our lives are centered around Christ? How does it change? Are there restrictions? Is there freedom? Is eating to be enjoyed or endured. Does the Bible say anything about eating? Do I need to pay attention to what the Bible says about eating? So many questions, so little time. So let's start by looking at Scripture, shall we? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. It's Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too." Perspective is important. Paul reminds us that God's kingdom is not about what we consume. It is actually about the heart. God's kingdom, the good life, is about living a life full of goodness and peace and joy that is found in communion with Holy Spirit. So, with this in mind and with years of working with people as they've journeyed through eating, let me give you three main thoughts for us in regards to how our eating occurs through the lens of the good life. The first thing that I want to encourage you in is that our eating should be infused with love. In today's culture, with the Food Network, with reality shows about hosting dinners and finding out that you never do it good enough, with Pinterest, with The Biggest Loser, it is easy to get caught up with what we are eating. Although this is important, and I'm going to touch on it later, it is not what Jesus is primarily concerned with. He is concerned with what the state of our heart is. Infusing our eating with love means two things as far as I can figure it. It means that our eating is, first of all, not self-centered. And second, that our eating should be community-oriented. Jesus tells us in Mark, "It is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart." Is your eating driven by love? You can eat whatever you want and not be defiled, but what is in your heart can easily move you away from God's best in your life. In Proverbs, it says, in what might become my favorite scripture, "A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate." Amen? Now, I'm from Alberta. I grew up in Alberta. I love steak. I grew up on steak. But I would gladly give up steak if it meant that I was able to enjoy a meal with someone that I loved. Let me show you a photo that speaks 1,000 words about letting our eating be infused with love. Let's remember, not self-centered and community-oriented. So this photo was taken last Saturday at the Living Waters family camping trip. Next year, it's going to be July 17th to 19th, if you want to mark that in your calendars now. So we gathered together. There's 9 families who gathered together to spend the weekend or portions of the weekend together, being community. So do you see what I'm talking about in this photo? First of all, community-oriented. In this, there are at least 5 families represented, all sharing one fire pit. It's beautiful. It really is. Second, not self-centered. Do you see it? How many hot dogs are being roasted there? When I look at that and a couple other photos that give us different angles, I count at least 15 hot dogs in various stages of being expertly cooked. You can't see them all in this photo. But how many people are actually cooking them? There's actually only 7 people at most. A couple people are hiding in out of screen there. Isn't that amazing? This is what I mean by our eating being infused with love. The second thing that I want to encourage you in is that our eating should reflect that our bodies are the Lord's. Too often we let ourselves think that we own our bodies. Yeah, you guys like that quote. For the sake of the podcast, I'll read it. It says, "My doctor told me I had to stop throwing intimate dinners for four unless there are three other people." It's a good one. Too often we let ourselves think that we own our bodies, and this is simply not true. Well, it's not true if we have truly given ourselves to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything." Paul, in this passage, is speaking to sexual immorality. In the Corinthian church, people were flaunting their freedoms by saying that they could do anything. Paul is saying that not everything is good for you and that we should not become slaves to anything. Later in the same passage, Paul writes, "Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never." In the same way, we should treat our bodies, which are a part of Christ, with food that is beneficial to our health. I have found in my life that it is beneficial to think of my eating in terms of restraint and feasting. Restraint is potentially denying yourself all that you could possibly have in order to remain in a good and healthy place, both physically and spiritually. Food is important to us physiologically. As I mentioned before, it affects our moods. It affects whether we get sick or not, pain levels. It even affects our ability to think clearly. How many of you know that food affects your mood significantly? Yeah, some of your hands are like, yeah. This depends person to person. My wife, Katrina, her mood is greatly affected by food. I have learned in our 12 years of marriage that when she leans over, and usually it's in the car, "Ryan, I'm feeling hungry." I know that I have 5, maybe 10 minutes at best to get some food, or else things are going to digress quickly. Food is important. By restraining ourselves to those things that are best for us, it enables us to have our bodies functioning for God's kingdom at the optimum level. Please hear what I'm actually saying here. I'm not talking about weight or body type. I am talking in love about health. It is important for us to eat properly so that our bodies are at their best. We say that God is at the center, but do we actually mean completely center? Do we include eating differently to make sure that we are thinking, feeling, learning, praying, resting, talking, listening, and working the best that we can for Him? So, it is wise to show restraint in eating. It is also wise to have planned times of feasting. Feasting is a pattern that is also seen in the Old Testament. There were times set by God for His people to indulge in the blessings that God had poured out. In the same way, by feasting, we bring a smile to Jesus' face. We are a blessed people, and we should recognize that by enjoying God's blessings. Feasting is not a time to be gluttons, but to enjoy the array of food that God has provided. Ice cream, cake, rich foods. Here we are again getting hungry for lunch. Feasting also makes times of restraint easier if we know that we are going to be able to feast later on. A good question to ask ourselves is, do my times of eating have a good rhythm between restraint and feasting. What do I need to do to bring these into healthy alignment? Working through these questions is actually a spiritual act, as we allow our eating to reflect that our bodies are the Lord's. The third thing that I want to encourage you in is that our eating should be done in the freedom of the life-giving Spirit. The struggle for us as Christians is not taking our freedom too far, or in some cases, not taking it far enough. Paul in 1 Corinthians writes, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." As people who have chosen the good life, we are to be led by the Spirit of God for the glory of God. So, let me advise that if you are going to not eat or drink something, it should be in order to protect or encourage yourself or someone else in their faith. We have opportunity to show our values in doing this. The first value that we can show is that of generosity. It is extremely generous to do without freedoms in order to help someone else out. For the past several months, my doctor has had me on a diet that did not allow me to eat vinegar. So think about salad dressings, ketchup, mustard, those sorts of things. It didn't allow me to eat baker's yeast, so no bread that rose. And no sugar, only one fruit a day. So obviously this altered my diet quite significantly. Several weeks ago, our student ministries pastor, Mike Vaders, and his wife, Carissa, invited my family over to their place for brunch. This is difficult because of my challenging diet. So we accepted their invitation and said, sure, we'll come over, but I'm going to bring my own food so that you don't have to worry about the chaos of my diet. But Carissa, the brave soul, didn't find this acceptable. She said, no, I'll make food for all of us to share. So she wrote down my dietary limitations and set about making a brunch that everyone could enjoy. Other than a few issues with my kids and whipping cream, we'll never mention the incident again, it was a fantastic brunch. But what made it fantastic was not just the food. It was the generosity of love and care that Mike and Carissa showed to me by going out of their way, placing their freedoms and their ability to eat anything on hold so that we could share a meal together. The second value that we can show is that of authenticity. Eating is an intimate act. Certain things are revealed about you when you eat. Your manners, your home, what you like and dislike, like mushrooms. Ugh. Even what you are able to eat and drink and what you can't are revealed as you eat. We are able to reveal our true selves, our authentic selves, by allowing our eating to be done in the freedom of the Spirit. So how do we actually go about doing this? How do we attempt to have our eating changed by the gospel? Well, it happens through trial and error. Eating is a very personal thing, but it should be done often in community. So right now is the time to get out your paper, your pens, your smartphones, to take some notes here. I've prepared some questions and some possible action items to begin to put what we have talked about into action. So how do we do this? Question number one. Are your current times of eating full of goodness and peace and joy? All the young families in the room go, peace? Yeah, right. So let's try this. Identify two things that you could do to move away from just filling stomachs and start reflecting the Spirit in eating. So, for example, maybe that's planning to have more time for meals. Or maybe that looks like just taking the effort to engage with others during those meals about what God is doing in their lives. Question number two. Do you regularly share meals with others? When was the last time you had someone over for a meal? When was the last time you went to someone else's home for a meal? Going to your parents' house doesn't count. Okay, it counts a little bit. So let's try this. Identify three people or three couples or three families that you could invite over by the end of the summer. And go ahead and invite them. Share a meal together. Question number three. What are my current eating habits like? Do I have times of restraint? Do I plan times of feasting? Let's try this. Identify two areas of your life that you can show restraint in the next 2 weeks and plan your next feast. So, maybe you say, I'm going to show restraint in sugary foods or processed foods or fast food, something like that. I'm going to show restraint in that. But I'm going to plan my next feast and saying, next Saturday, I am going to eat, and you can fill in the blank. Question number four. Who in my life do I need to put my freedoms on hold for when I am eating or drinking with? Let's try this. Identify someone who you can show generosity towards by sharing a meal with. And invite them to that meal. Go out of your way for somebody. And think of one way that you can become a more authentic person while sharing a meal. So, for example, maybe this could be sharing a detail of your life that someone did not know about during a meal. It can be as simple as that. Our theme verse for this series is Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so let me encourage you, as you leave this place today, let Christ move into your eating. Eat as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Let your eating be infused with love. Let your eating reflect that our bodies are his. And let your eating reflect that we live in freedom, willing to lay down that freedom for each other in generosity and authenticity. As always, I'm willing to walk with you in your journey, specifically today in eating. So if you're needing somebody to talk to, or if you're needing some encouragement, come and track me down and let's chat about that. So God bless. Have a wonderful week as you go throughout this week, reflecting on the good life as you eat. We'll see you next Sunday as Joanne shares on resting. It's a difficult assignment for somebody in our first few weeks to research resting, but somebody's got to do it, right? We'll see you next week. Have a good week.